to Marfa Mondays. I'm your host, Sam Mayo, and this is podcast number 14 of a projected 24 podcasts exploring Marfa and environs, that is, the greater Big Bend region of far West Texas, apropos of my book In Progress. For those of you listening in for the first time, an especially warm welcome. You can find all the podcasts, which you can listen to anytime, on my website, sammayo.com. Previous podcasts include an interview with Mary Bones about the Big Bend's lost art colony, an interview with Paul Grabiel, owner of Marfa's Moonlight Gemstones, a visit to Chinati Hot Springs. We have seen the lights about the strange phenomena of the Marfa lights. Artist Mary Baxter, painting the Big Bend. And last up, podcast number 13, my interview with historian John Tutino, who offers a take on Mexican history back when Mexico included what is today Far West Texas that will knock your huaraches off. And we talk a bit about Giant, the movie filmed in Marfa as well. Those of you who have been following the podcast series will note that it's been a bit slow this year. The reason is I went and wrote a different book, though it does have quite a bit to do with this U.S.-Mexico border region. The title of that book is Metaphysical Odyssey into the Mexican Revolution, Francisco I. Madero and His Secret Book, Spiritist Manual. Francisco I. Madero, the leader of Mexico's 1910 revolution and president of Mexico from 1911 to 1913, was a spiritist medium. He wrote a spiritist how-to book, and I translated it and gave it an introduction, which I hope will be interesting for the general reader and those already well-versed in metaphysics, but most especially anyone interested in Mexican history. That book is now available in paperback, Kindle, and in Spanish, Odisea Metafísica hacia la Revolución Mexicana. Check it out and read excerpts on my webpage, cmmayo.com. But back to Far West Texas. This podcast is a double podcast. First, a piece about my own journey over Burro Mesa into Apache Canyon in the Big Bend National Park. And second, my translation of a most exotic bit of reporting about the Kickapoo ambassadors to the Emperor Maximilian by his German gardener. Originally, for this podcast, I had thought to do an extended piece about the Apaches. But the long, bloody story of the conquest of what had been the far north of New Spain and became Far West Texas is not for the squeamish. There were outrages on all sides. I know that many of you listen to these podcasts as you're driving or relaxing or cooking, so no worries. Such difficult material, and it really is disturbing, will go into my book, but not the podcasts. Over Burro Mesa. I had ghosts on my mind. Not in a speaky way, just stray thoughts about long-gone people on a bright, hot morning in the Big Bend National Park. In the foothills of the Chisos, I parked on the roadside. My aim was to hike over Burro Mesa west into Apache Canyon to a corral where Apaches stashed stolen horses and to explore an arrow quarry. The week before in this canyon, two Italian women fended off a mountain lion. Apparently, it was a young lion, and their screams caused it to scramble off. But that wasn't the kind of adventure I was looking for. I figured my guide, Charlie Angel, could handle any critters better than I could. Sun blasted down. The only clouds were wisps, as if from a paintbrush dipped in milk. Thorns snagged my jeans. The trail became so faint, I surely would have lost it on my own. Just when the hill dipped, Then came another trudge up another rise through whips of Ocotillo, Lechuguilla, Biznaga, bare grass, stunted soap trees. Many had been incinerated, probably from lightning strikes. No sign of burros on Burro Mesa. In 2 hours in this merciless landscape, we had seen no animal tracks, no scat, one lizard, one butterfly, two ravens. It began to seem we were hiking not so much to a place, but into the past, for this was a soundscape deeply strange to me. I live in Mexico City, one of the biggest in the world, where the thrum of traffic surges and fades, but never ceases. On myriad saint days, firecrackers pop like popcorn. Weekends, the thumpa-thumpa of parties. Helicopters roar, dogs bark. Less than 2 centuries ago, Burro Mesa and Apache Canyon, indeed the whole of the Big Bend, were Mexican territory. Mexico City, the capital. But notionally, maps of the period tell the truer story. A blank space with a name that was a shrug of ignorance, or for those who had heard the stories of kidnappings and scalpings, a drumbeat of horror, Apacheria. Finally, not that there was any place to sit, we sat down. "Drink up," Charlie insisted, handing me another bottle of water. And this was when, suddenly as that mountain lion must have appeared, a lone figure carrying a pole taller than he was loomed above us, a Texan in expensive-looking drab olive gear. He'd been hiking for several days, he said brightly. Yesterday, the Mesa de Anguila. Mighty surprised to see us. We were the first hikers he'd encountered in the past 3 days. And the pole? It was for scaring mountain lions. But it didn't weigh much. It was bamboo. After 20 years, its bottom was starting to split. He lifted it to reveal a mass of duct tape. From his flask, he drank water, but he did not sit down. In a moment, he and his fabulous pole had disappeared down the hill. We found the dry stone corral tucked against the mountain, blanketed in shade. It was filled with rubble and brush. Beyond a waist-high forest of creosote, the arrow quarry would have been easy to miss. It was not a hole in the ground, but a cliff of flaky-looking dark rock. Broken arrowheads lay all about, bone white, pink, orange, some tinged lavender. Before I put it back, I held one in my hand. Who knew how old it was? 100? 500 years? I tried to conjure an image of the hands that had chipped so expertly until this triangle, a form at once unfathomably ancient, life-giving, and deadly, emerged. It was probably a man, probably older than most in his tribe. Let's say he had an arthritic knee, a claw strung onto his necklace. Now for the Kickapoo ambassadors to Maximilian, the Emperor of Mexico, in 1865. The Kickapoo ambassadors actually came to Mexico City from Coahuila in the north, below the Texas border. The Kickapoos roamed over a vast region, including what is today Far West Texas. There is a splendid and very strange painting by French artist Adolphe Bousset, which shows the ambassadors in feathers and faces painted red as Maximilian in his top coat and splendid red beard, and Carlota wearing gray gloves, receive them. On the back wall loom the portraits of Louis-Napoleon and Eugénie, Emperor and Empress of France, whose army had conquered Mexico for this monarchy. I have written about Maximilian and Carlotta in two works, my novel, The Last Prince of the Mexican Empire, and a long essay, From Mexico to Miramar, or Across the Lake of Oblivion, what I call a nonfiction novella about a fairy tale, a visit to the Emperor of Mexico's castle in Italy. All of which is to say, I'm pretty familiar with the history of Maximilian and Mexico's so-called French intervention, or Second Empire of the 1860s, which roughly, very roughly, corresponded to the period of the U.S. Civil War. So I was surprised and delighted to come across something entirely new to me, which was Suzanne Igler's translation from the German into the Spanish, with Mexican historian Amparo Gómez Tepixi Cuapan's introduction to the memoirs of Maximilian's gardener, the botanist Wilhelm Nechtel. Well, my German is a little shaky, so here is my translation from Suzanne Igler's Spanish translation of what Nechtel had to say about those Kickapoo ambassadors. The Kickapoo were five men and four women, one of them with a child. They were wrapped in red and blue serapes, fantastic head ornaments of feathers, leather, ribbons, and glass, and they walked with solemnity through Chapultepec Park, the women with their heads bare. The chief was an old man. From his neck hung a symbol of his authority, a great silver medallion with an engraving of a jaguar and a commemorative coin of Louis XV of France. They brought with them three black men from Texas as their translators. These people spoke the Kickapoo language, but no Spanish, nor French, only English, a language which the emperor and empress spoke perfectly. The emperor received them very kindly and then had them served a meal in the park at the entrance to the Grand Boulevard. The plates were put directly on the ground. In a circle, the Kickapoos knelt down and ate with their hands. If you want to look for that book, Wilhelm Nechtel is spelled K-N-E-C-H-T-E-L, and the title is Las Memorias del Jardinero de Maximiliano. One more text to mention, but I won't read it for this podcast. It's much too gruesome, is the memoir of the Abbé Dominich, a French missionary who traveled through far west Texas before going down to Mexico City to serve Maximilian. You can find the English translation of his book, Missionary Adventures in Texas and Mexico, a personal narrative of 6 years' sojourn in those regions, on archive.org. Next up on the Marfa Mondays podcasts is my interview with rock art expert Greg Williams, and then after that, my interview with photographer Paul Chaplow about his magnificent new book, Marfa Flights. If you're anywhere in the area, don't miss the show of his photographs at the Museum of the Big Bend at Sol Ross in Alpine, Texas. Marfa Flights, Aerial Views of Big Bend Country. Check that out at museumofthebigbend.com. They will be on view until January 18th, 2015. Thanks for listening. I invite you to listen in to the other Marfa Mondays podcasts anytime, and also learn about my several books at cmmayo.com. If you'd like to be alerted when the next podcast is live, you can subscribe to the RSS feed on my webpage, but better yet, subscribe to my free newsletter. The sign up is right there on the webpage, cmmayo.com. Until next time.
Travel from your armchair. About C.M. Mayo's Miraculous Air, Library Journal says, with elegant prose and an artist's eye for detail, Mayo may just have written one of the best books ever about Baja California. Highly recommended. The Los Angeles Times Book Review calls Miraculous Air a luminous exploration of Baja California, from its southern tip at Cabo San Lucas to its lost city of Tijuana. Mayo takes the fiction writer's impulse and blends it with the instincts of a journalist to create a work of nonfiction that elides into modern myth. Miraculous Air, Journey of 1,000 Miles Through Baja California, The Other Mexico, by C.M. Mayo, is available in a paperback edition from Milkweed Editions and now also as an ebook from Dancing Chiva. Look for Miraculous Air in bookstores and from all major online booksellers.